You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen call-in show, Empowered Communication. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen One Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to take your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Before we start the show, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. Dr. Pat Allen started the One Institute over 50 years ago to help men and women learn to express their wants and not wants with integrity and honesty, and to recognize and avoid the damaging ploys of intimidation and seduction. Some of the things Dr. Pat Allen teaches is about male-female relationships have often been called politically incorrect, but they are scientifically accurate, and they do work. The One Institute currently provides facilitators that offer monthly groups that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitator coaches will introduce you to basic communication skills with the techniques of want training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the Want Institute services, you can call the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email info@drpatallen.com. info@drpatallen.com. So tonight we have Andy Shaw. He's one of the facilitator coaches from the One Institute, trained by Dr. Pat. He's available to answer your questions along with me. Andy, do you want to say hi?
Hello, audience.
Hi. Tonight I wanted to jump in since it's the holiday season. It's probably one of the most painful times for some people because a lot of relationships end at the holiday seasons. And there are some signs. What's your intake on relationships during the holiday seasons, Andy?
I think they are either going to make it or they don't. If you made it through the holiday seasons, count your blessings and you got hope for the future.
Some of the things that I've noticed that some examples why relationship mistakes that people make during the holidays is that sometimes they're moving too fast, and then they compare their relationship to other couples, and then they're expecting magic to fix the problems. And a lot of people ignore the red flags, and sometimes they're using a holiday season, they're using alcohol to cope. So that can also be a pressure on why relationships break. And some of the dynamics that affect your love life during the holidays is the holidays sometimes trigger old wounds, and that brings up triggers that you might attack your partner, or you go into kind of a trauma bond where you pick unavailable men. And so what we can do is, do you want to talk about how to attract a healthy, secure partner in 2026?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, let's see. So do you want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I met Dr. Allen in June of 2013. Like other people, we had some problems with the relationship. I had attempted to ask a girl to marry me and had a ring out, and she walked away. And it did happen twice, I think, about twice in 5 months. Second one at her daughter's request. And after that, I started questioning myself about what was wrong with me that, I accepted this behavior. And in my telling the story to a friend of mine at college, in her mourning of getting through her husband passing, she found a book by Dr. Allen and told me about it. And so I started going that Wednesday night.
Did this lady ever go to the seminars as well? The one that referred you the book?
No, not to my knowledge.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think she soon retired and went up to Big Bear, I think it was. I'm not sure.
Oh, was she looking for getting to I Do, I Take It? So was she looking for a relationship?
No, I think she was just looking for closure.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It had been almost 2 years since her husband had passed.
Uh-huh.
And she was just trying to heal. She was a wonderful woman. I liked her a lot. And I just happened to have the engagement ring in my car and said, hey, what do you think? What should I do with this thing? And she's like, well, you know, one, return it. And two, you know, I came across this lady who I looked her up and she happened to be doing seminars. So I'm like, hey, I'll be there. And I started going. It was at 6 o'clock, I think it was, in Newport Beach. And I listened. I took my notebook, I took a pen, and shook her hand at the end of it. And rinse, repeat, did that every week for months. And I believe I started talking to you because I had to pay you anyway. Yeah. In the door.
Course.
And then said, hey, you know, I do IT, and if you ever need help, I'm more than willing to help you. And that in January, the following January, 6 months later, your IT guy happened to have a heart attack, right?
Oh, yeah, he did. That's right. Yeah.
And so he couldn't do it anymore. I'm like, hey, you want to do this? Like, yeah, absolutely. So changed my world, man. I loved it.
Yeah, and then you took a lot of her classes too and dove into it and became a facilitator, a coach to teach her stuff. You're probably, there wasn't a lot of men that took the classes. There's more women that took it, but I remember you and Jim Hanrahan, but he passed away. Who else was some of the coaches? There was Dr. Rice. He passed away.
Really? He passed away?
I didn't know. Oh, he passed away, yeah. He was the dentist. Remember Robert Rice, the golfer? He passed away about 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, I remember him for a little bit. He needed an assistant. Yeah, I don't know what the cause was. He was in the hospital. It's still kind of mysterious, but he passed away. And then one of the facilitators, Kathy Katz, has been on the show before. She's a great coach. We have, who else? There's still a lot of people I stay in contact with. A lot of them has veered off, but they use it in their daily lives, the coaching.
And do you still hear from Andre?
From who?
Andre.
Andre. Oh, you know what? I think he went back to, he's the one that did the car repair.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a while he had a lot of advertisements and I was following him. But then they kind of dissipated. I don't know if he kind of just, because he had that car repair business, and I think he went back up to Canada. That was
he sold his repair business. And
oh, he did? Okay.
Started doing this stuff full time.
Oh, he's doing this stuff full time? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did follow him a while, but that was so long ago. I really liked him. He was a great guy too. He really. Yeah. He had a happy marriage too, didn't he? And he had a bunch of kids.
Yeah. He had two kids. Really good wife. Yeah. Really good marriage.
Yeah. He had a great personality. Yes.
Yeah. Lives and works in North Hollywood.
Uh huh.
Project Equinox.
Uh-huh. Oh. Okay. Oh, okay. Project Equinox.net. That's great. And
yeah, his name is Andre Paradis.
Yeah, he was trained by Dr. Pat, too. He took all of her classes. That's about all I could think of now. A lot of them check in with me and ask about Dr. Pat. She's still alive. She's 91. She lives down in San Diego with my sister, Bobby. My sister, Bobby, takes care of her. Unfortunately, we can't have her on the show because she's a little hard of hearing and she cannot hear the questions. Unless she could read lips, and even then it's difficult for her. So unfortunately, she wanted me to carry the torch on to share her stuff, and I do as much as I can. As you know, the WAN Institute is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we survive by donations. Currently, I do private sessions and also ladies groups at minimum low cost to help the community. So if anybody wants some information on my current ladies groups, I have a new group starting in January. Most of my ladies I've taken over from Dr. Pat. They've been with Dr. Pat for like 4 years. Every week, they're like their own little community, 4 to 5 ladies, and then I carried it over. So basically, Pat taught them all the stuff. I'm just giving them touch-ups, so it's actually pretty easy. But then Andy, you know, there is every so often a couple of men that want groups. I'm not comfortable doing men, but I have you available if you want to start a project to do men's groups via Zoom. We don't have an office, but what are your thoughts on that?
I'm open to help however I can.
Okay, since you know. But anyway, the call-in number for the show, hopefully we'll get some callers, is 323-203-0815. You can call and ask us any questions you want, whether it's work-related, relationship-related, or family-related. So one of the things I want to talk about is heal the patterns that attract unhealthy partners. It's just a topic that you don't attract what you want. You attract what your nervous system is wired for. And in 2026, focus on healing. Focus on healing your abandonment wounds, your rejection wounds, the I'm not enough beliefs, the urge to overgive, chasing unavailable men, and trauma bonds disguised as chemistry. When you heal the inner child, you stop choosing men who hurt you. What are your thoughts on that list, Andy?
Can you tell me a little more, please?
Okay. So women often say secure men feel boring. Pat used to talk about that all the time. That's not boredom. That's familiarity. Okay. So when women have a trauma bond, it's something that happened in their childhood. Maybe chaos, inconsistency, abuse, abandonment. So when they meet a man, they're more likely to be chemistry to the unavailable, unemotional man. That's, they got chemistry because it's familiar. Now the secure man, who's safe, calm, secure, and available, and emotionally available, they generally are not attracted to him because he's a little bit of taboo. He's not like mom or dad. He's not like their family background. So they always say, I don't have chemistry for him. He's boring. But he's the guy that Dr. Pat always says, you should continue dating until you desensitize and he becomes your normal familiarity. Do you remember her talking about that in the seminars?
I do, yeah.
That is still a hard topic for me to get my ladies to understand. They always want the chemistry. And I've been doing some research. You should go for compatibility first. Morals, values, you know, compatibility. If you're on the both heading for the same place, you're both emotionally available, secure, wanting to marriage, wanting children, wanting, you know, one feminine, one masculine. But most of the time, I lost my train of thought. Most of the time, these women pick the unavailable, either avoidant men who will sweet talk them just to lure them in and then cast them off, inconsistency. And these women, they just go up and down in that dopamine high spikes, up and down. And they just love those types of men. I just can't get them away from them. Have you ever had a relationship where it was that dopamine high, where you knew they weren't good for you? It wasn't healthy, but you just had chemistry for them?
Yeah, like everybody else, you know, it happens.
Well, was that with your last girlfriend?
No, it's been a while back now.
Okay.
Dr. Pat's changed my wiring in my brain.
Okay.
And I no longer accept some things like that. Like, it's exciting. It's very cool. And then I remember my training, and I remember how chaotic things can be if I don't do my training. And I decide, well, I don't really want the chaos, so let me go, you know, ask these questions.
Okay.
And see if I can get to a rational way of going forward. Mm-hmm. And what I've often found.
What?
And this has often been, you know, subjective, is that the excitement is the antithesis to planning.
Okay. What meaning what? Can you clarify that a little more?
Yeah, yeah. People who are excited are the people I've met who are exciting don't want to sit down and plan. They find it boring.
Oh, okay. That's true. They just want constant go, go, go. Yeah.
Yeah, they want constant stimulation.
Yes, constant stimulation. You're correct.
Which is, this is all kind of also somewhat pre social media too.
Yeah.
And even then, you could tell that I was never going to give them what they wanted.
Uh-huh.
Not my makeup. And having those deep conversations was not in their makeup, at least not at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
So what I've learned is that they will get what they want temporarily. And then when it starts to fizzle down, because, you know, it's only, you can only stay high for so long. Uh-huh. Everything and everybody has to get refueled.
Yes.
And when that refueling time comes in, they don't want it anymore because it's boring again. And there's nothing to stimulate them to keep them going through that trough.
Uh-huh.
So if you build a future with other people, and you have something to, someone to love, something to look forward to, and something to do, like Dr. Pat trained us,
mm-hmm.
that can sustain you through the boring parts. But without that, that constant high is just an unsustainable part of life. So if you want to, you know, the five curses of mankind, right? Be perfect.
Yes.
In my website here. I have to look it up real quick. Sorry, hold on a second.
Yeah, the answers book. I brought that up. What?
I got the website. You know, five curses, be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Be harder. Hurry up. Please others first. And be strong. All those things drive you crazy. But the allowers, the things that will keep you sane, are be excellent, no one enough is, work easy, please yourself first, and be open. And all those apply to your exciting thing of, because what's excitement? That to me, that goes to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And exciting is always try harder because you can never get high enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, hurry up is, you know, all these all play into that very excitement. But when you figure out that, you know, this firework goes five stories high, but I don't need it to go five stories high. I need it to go 5 feet high. And mm-hmm. that's enough. And as long as you know what enough is, it'll keep you going through those downtimes, through those trough moments, through those trough weeks if it need be. And if you're not willing to do that, you can experience some pain.
Yes.
And as we all know, pain sucks. Pain is hard.
Yeah, pain is a sign that change is needed or change is in progress, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so when somebody tells you that, what does that mean? What would you want to change? And my answer would be, well, what do you have to look forward to in the future?
Uh-huh.
Are you making plans together to do something? Are you managing your life in such a way that it's sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
If you have no plan and no money, how are you going to eat in the future? And you know, this all feeds into managing your life the same way you manage your love life.
Uh-huh. So what in a nutshell, you're talking about women that are kind of the dopamine high, always go, go, go. They're not consistent or planned.
Yeah, and but when we talk about women, like in my mind, we talk about people who are just feminine energy.
Yes.
You can have a penis or a vagina.
Yes.
And what's between your legs does not dictate what energy you express.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. You know, a lot of the women, they think that, you know, masculine and feminine, it's the energy system, the polarity. A lot of people call me and they think it's a form of communication, and that's just part of it. It's actually, can you explain that about, they always say, am I talking masculine or talking feminine? It's more of feminine is talking from feelings, I statements, how you feel. Masculine is more of the assertive. I want more of the directional force. And a lot of people think it's just communication in the words. So they get mixed up and they're actually being masculine by their actions, thinking that they're not talking it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Why don't you, can you express it a little bit more?
Okay. Well, I, you know, a lot of people, they're so worried about what they say is masculine or feminine. I go, it's more than just your words. It's you expressing your energy. Feminine energy is patient, passive, vulnerable, and receptive. It's not just about words. You talk about your feeling statements. So they might say they're feminine, but they're over here bossing people around because they want, because they feel that they want to be cherished. They want it their way. He's supposed to cherish me, so do this, da-da-da-da-da.
Very true.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I keep telling women it's an energy system. It's not just the language. The language is part of it, but it's the energy you portray. When you're in your logic and you're trying to explain and defend and analyze and dictate and control, you're in your masculine. And it's very hard for a lot of them to stay in feminine because you just sit there. There's no action. You're just sitting there. They don't like that feeling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've experienced that too. It sucks.
Yeah.
Because then you're both fighting to be in charge.
Oh, that's definite. And then, so I had a person explain, well, I know what, narcissism, as Dr. Pat always talks about, is not always bad. To be narcissist is to be both wanting to be respected and cherished. It's healthy, except for it's very hard for you to get into a relationship because the other person does not get to be either respected or cherished. He would have to float back and forth. Tell me your perception of when people say narcissist, they automatically think negative. What's your perception of narcissists?
Well, I'm going to go to the answers book, page 113.
Yeah, because Dr. Pat always said narcissism is not all bad, but it's just hard to get into a relationship. And it's so easy to label people as narcissists when you don't get your way.
Let's see. There's nothing wrong with healthy narcissism because it means that each of us has the right to be a total person with both male and female qualities. Mm-hmm. We each have the right to think and to feel. We each have a right to our own body. We have the right to be an individual, separate from all others. So we have advanced to the place where we can all be ourselves if we want to be. The problem is, how do we get together?
That's a problem, huh?
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting to, I do. Mm-hmm. On the answers book, it says, yeah, narcissism, being both yin and yang, isn't bad. It's just a state called being single.
Yes. Well, because if you're wanting to be feminine and then flip to masculine, your partner can't do it that fast either. You have to pick your main suit and stay with it as best you can so the other person can have the opposite suit. So you attract each other.
Yeah. And to put a points perspective on that, if you're doing masculine, that's fine. Uh-huh. If you're doing feminine, that's 5 points. You only get 10 points.
Yes.
Which leaves the other person with a zero. They're a doormat.
Yes. Yes.
If you have 0 points, you cannot rise up.
Yes.
So you either give up 5 points and be on equal, relatively equal ground. Uh-huh. With the 51%, hey, I'll do a little more of this, you do a little more of that, and we both agree. Or you stay single.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the question is, are you willing to negotiate?
That is the answer.
And negotiation comes when you're what? Because none of us are over 5 years old on the inside, our inner child.
Yes.
So at 1 year old, we all, you know, we pull things to us, right? Yes. Yeah. At 2 years old, we say no. We're very familiar with the what they call terrible twos.
Yes.
And conversely, thinking about it, terrible twos is another way for setting boundaries.
Okay. Yes. And then, which a lot of women ignore and just say yes, 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 and then regret it later.
And then from age 3 to 5, we learn how to negotiate. And if you're only willing to say no, or just pull things to you and never say no, you're not negotiating. You're not negotiating healthy, living, rational boundaries. And when you have no boundaries, you get upset because people cross what you in your mind have said is a boundary, but not expressed to the other human being.
That's true. It's called effective communication, where you express your boundaries in a healthy way, not be mad at them because they can't mind read.
Yes. And I think in every single relationship I've had to say, I don't mind read.
I know that's a big one. I get a lot of women that assume, they say, it's like, he should assume that I didn't want, that I wanted to go home because I said I was tired. I go, that's not saying you should want to go home. Well, he should assumed it was confirmed because he said, I'll get back to you. That's not confirmed.
No, even a couple weeks ago, I took out my ex-girlfriend and her daughter.
Yeah.
We're still friends after many years.
Okay.
And, you know, it's Black Friday. It's a hectic day.
Oh, you took them shopping?
Yeah.
Did you tell them you were going to buy them a Christmas gift, or was it the shopping spree on you?
Oh, God, no. No,
I still didn't. I was going to go, that's pretty generous.
No, I'm just a taxi.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, I might give them 10 or 15 bucks, but it's really nothing.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they give them anything.
Yeah.
But one of them had said they were unhappy and they didn't want to come because of Black Friday. But it was never stated. Like, if you don't want to be here, that's fine. We'll just reschedule, but say something.
Oh, you mean you offered it for the Friday and then they said, I don't want to go because it's Black Friday, but they didn't really let you know ahead of time?
Well, we're in the middle of shopping. We're 6 hours into it. And then I hear, I don't really want to do this. I didn't want to do this. Why didn't you say anything?
Oh.
So, but that's been an indicator of a problem we've had for many, many years.
Oh, okay.
So I just found it frustrating and a reminder how important it is to communicate what your nots and not wants, your wants and not wants.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So please, for the love of God and yourself, tell people what you want and don't want. It's okay.
Now, on that topic too, relationships. When you want to be in a relationship, it's good to make a list of what you want and not want in a man. I have one lady who said, I just want a boyfriend. She got a boyfriend, but he doesn't want a future. Now she's stuck. Because she didn't have a guide. She didn't have a list of what she wanted and not want. She was just shooting darts, hoping that somebody would fill a void that she didn't even know what she wanted. What would you say about that when you're wanting to pick a partner?
Well, I would applaud her for getting a boyfriend. She got exactly what she wanted, which is great, right?
Yes.
If you don't know what you want, you don't know where to go and where you're going.
Uh-huh.
So then the next part for me would be, well, that's fine. You want a boyfriend that has and does and whatever, you know, the relationship contract we talk about for so frequently. Time, space, money, and play. What is it you, well, I first ask, are you the masculine or are you the feminine? And they will tell me one or the other. Usually it's the feminine, sometimes not. And you know, how much time do you want to spend together? How much time do you want to spend apart? And we start asking questions and start figuring out these answers. Because they don't always understand it. And quite funky neither did I when I first started. So like, you know, who's doing the chores outside? Well, that's a man's job. Okay, cool. Write that down. Who's doing the chores inside? Well, I'll do that. I like dishes. But then she might say, well, I want flowers. Well, do you trust him to do your flowers? Oh, no. No, I want to do the flowers. Okay, so there are some boundaries now.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, do you cook? No, I don't want to cook. I can't cook to save my life. Okay, cool. So he has to cook. Yes.
Okay.
Now we got some inside and outside stuff. Now we're starting to run down this obstacle course we call life.
Okay, which is never ending and always has twists and turns that you have to communicate and negotiate.
Yeah, with the rules undefined and the targets always changing.
Yes, because people evolve, so you have to keep talking, communicating, and building, and negotiating.
Yeah, which is why I really like on the relationship contract that first year is every 2 months. You get the thing feel, what's the word called? Ruminating?
Oh, yeah, ruminating. Well, just to let the people know that an example of the relationship contracts item sheet is on our website under drpatallen.com. There's a 45-minute streaming video, chemistry, compatibility, and communication. There's a free access. So it goes through all the Dr. Pat stuff, especially that relationship contract item.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking stuff up.
What stuff are you looking up? Just
I was getting sidetracked on rumination.
Oh, rumination. Well, isn't that the think and feel type thing?
Yeah. I don't think that's the right word, but because rumination is when you something's bothering you. You think and feel, and you do it for 2 months. Those are like for big decisions.
Yes. And, but also when men break up or people break up, men have to ruminate whether they miss her enough to come back. And that's a very painful part for women to sit through because they always want to reach out and ask why, chase, get mad, confront. The worst thing to do, that will push him away more.
On rumination.
What does the rumination say in a dictionary type thing?
On the answers book.
Okay.
A quote from Dr. Allen. Now, if you really want to make the industry of shrinkdom powerful and rich, here's what you got to do. Feel, think. What's that called? Rumination.
Mm-hmm.
You can stop rumination by going back to your main mantra. The way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I do or want to do? What do I want or what do I not want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible. And then it says, no, your action may actually be the decision to not react. As in, I'm consciously deciding not to react to that. So when you feel bad, ask yourself that question, which is, what do I want? What don't I want? And what do I have that I do not want? What do I not have that I do want? Answer those questions. And then for men, do good to feel good. So start to do something. If you want to be in your masculine, cool. Just do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to be in your feminine, take a bath.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your body. Walk in the sand. Walk in dirt. Walk in the beach, water, anything nature.
Yeah, go window shopping. Take a painting class. Something that you enjoy doing.
Listen to classical music. You only have to be done for an hour.
Yes.
And the walking in nature can be a good 15 minutes, but Dr. Pat recommends an hour.
Yes. So
who am I to disagree with her? I'm not.
Yeah.
But, plant some grass, have a square 1 foot by 1 foot thing or just backyard.
Rub your toes in it.
Yeah, I have a tree in my backyard, and I will sometimes just touch it and grab it and feel a leaf in between my fingers.
Uh-huh.
Anything that grounds me to nature. Uh-huh. Will help me feel better.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, Sue, tell me about your girls' groups. What's going on with them?
Well, okay. I offer ladies' groups. They run monthly. And so I took over Dr. Pat's, but basically what I do is I teach them, attachment styles, trauma bond, what happened when their inner child work, Dr. Pat Allen's duty dating, which, you know, it's duty dating is to go out and date numerous men for practice, not to find your perfect Prince Charming, because we have to know what type of man you want. Most women don't really know what they want until they get an example of good men and bad men, and then they can put their ideal man together. I teach Pat's communication tools, the stroke and stand, the five-step cleanup, and the validation, which is you can use for family, work situations, and relationships to avoid the confrontation of fighting and always want, you know, most of the thing is when couples fight, they, you know, you have to think of, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And so many people want to be right. They want their point of views heard and validated and accepted as the truth. I have so many people, well, he doesn't know the truth. It's my story. Well, his story is the truth. I choose to believe, choose to agree to disagree, because everybody may have a different point of view. It doesn't necessarily mean either one is right or wrong. It's called different points of view, different ways we see things. And that's where the negotiation comes out. So currently my ladies groups, I have three ladies in breakups. The man has broken up with them. And it's kind of sad because I thought that
you thought that what?
Huh? Yeah.
You said you thought that, and then
I thought that they would be, but now that I'm investigating, a lot of people, they want to break up because they want to start fresh a new year, and maybe this isn't the person they want, and they can use the new year as a fresh slate to move on. And sometimes they may have just gone too fast without really negotiating, and then they got into a situation that they weren't really happy and they didn't know how to say no or set up healthy boundaries. So they just went along with the flow, hoping that things would change. Because Dr. Pat, one of the things, remember when she talks about accept, reject, or tolerate? People just can't get that concept. Can you explain it? Because they keep being mad at the person they're with, and I give them those three options, and they always want me to teach them how to change him. And I can't change anybody. He can only change if he wants to change and willing to change, not by somebody requesting him. And they use Dr. Pat's material by saying, well, he's supposed to cherish my feelings and he's not doing what he's not making me happy. He can choose to make you happy his way, not the way you want to be happy. The way he's cherishing you does not make you happy, he might not be your man. There'll be another man that will fit your pot. The lid will fit your pot. So right now, most of my ladies are doing the 8 weeks where the man is ruminating. And one lady wants to reach out and ask why. I tell her, no, don't do that. She wants clarity. I go, no, you're not. Please don't do that. Because Dr. Pat never always says, be patient, passive, vulnerable, and receptive. If you start going there and asking him why and giving him the third degree, you're going masculine, and he's not going to feel the polarity to want you back. So it's a very painful part, but you have to stick with it. It's kind of like John Gray's, the men go into the cave. You got to let them go into the cave, and they go in to ruminate. It's important that they ruminate. Important. So with that, you know a lot about the rumination. We just talked about that. So my groups, I'll be starting more in January. I have a few spots open. I'll be sending out a newsletter. So I may have to open some more once I send the newsletter out. But it helps the women work through their trauma, their picker on what was familiar growing up. And most of them had parents that were unavailable, inconsistent, maybe an alcoholic dad that was inconsistent, or they had parents that wanted their little girls to perform, be men. So those women go out and try to prove their love by overgiving. They try to earn men's love. So once we work through your inner child, which a lot of people don't see how the pieces of the puzzle fit, they have a chance to heal and stop picking from their trauma bond and pick a secure man. But as I stated before, secure men are going to be boring to these ladies. So you have to keep going out with them till they become normal, familiar. So I just see, you want to share that thing about what you just said, Andy, about charity?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
From the Answers book, page 101.
Yeah.
Women don't understand what cherishing means. Some women see it as being a doormat, subservient, and that you're giving away hard-fought emerging power. It's not. It's easy to love a baby in clean diapers. It takes cherishing to love a baby in dirty diapers.
Yes, that's true.
Cherishing is not about making you happy.
It isn't about making you happy. It's understanding when you're having your emotional breakdown and you're screaming and having a temper tantrum and you just want him to listen and comfort you. It isn't getting what you want all the time just because you want something. That's not cherishing. A lot of women use that. Well, he's supposed to cherish my feelings. He's to cherish them on what he feels is adequate, his way of cherishing your feelings.
And to use this analogy, like,
what? Yeah.
If you're crying, I view my job as to sit there and listen and help you talk it through.
Yes.
As the equivalent of wiping a baby's butt till they're clean.
Yeah.
I don't cry anymore.
Yes.
That's it. That's where it ends.
Yes, because it's feelings are non-negotiable. You can't tell somebody, stop crying, get out of, you know, you need to feel better now. You'll feel better when you process them on your time. Sometimes you may just need somebody to be there to listen, and sometimes you might need somebody to just vent to or get advice from, but nobody can really get you out of an uncomfortable feeling. Somebody breaks up, we can't get them to feel better when they're in pain and a heartache. They have to do the work for that.
I tend to draw a circle. I draw a big circle. I said, this is your thinking brain. Uh-huh. Your feeling brain is a tiny circle inside this big circle. The only way I can impact your feelings, besides drugs, meds, or dead, is through your thinking brain. I can't directly make you feel better. Mm-hmm. But I can help you change the way you think about it so that you do feel better.
That's true. That's a good statement on that.
And then what we're talking about earlier for the acceptance is my show and tell, which I like, which is a quarter, dime, nickel, penny, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And one side is heads, one side is tails. Pick a new relationship you want. I did this last night with a friend of mine who was abusive to me, and I was told him I was willing to walk away. But in my mind, I said, do I either stay with this guy and that's okay the way it is? And the answer is no. Or do I want to never talk to him again? The answer is no. So I'm not willing to stay. I'm not willing to walk away. So that's at least 50% valuable.
Okay.
And on the worst day, when you hate them the most, what's that 1% value? For me, in this friendship, and it's the same thing for any relationship,
uh-huh,
is this person has enough redeeming value that I want to continue it without being abused. If that can happen, that's my boundary, then we'll continue it. If not, I don't even need to flip the quarter. It's going to be less than 50% valuable, and I'm out. But if you decide to... if you decide the heads, which is acceptance, you're going to stick around. That's all it is. It's I accept them as you are, warts and all.
Yes.
If it's on the tails, I reject you as you are, warts and all. Both are love for yourself. If you tolerate, which is the rim of the coin, because you're not flipping, you're just holding it. You're not doing anything with your life of that particular relationship. You're just holding on to it.
Uh-huh.
That's toleration.
Mm-hmm.
It's half love, half hate. The only thing it does is hurts you. Your fingers start to hurt. Your wrist starts to hurt because you just hold on to this penny.
Yes.
As soon as you decide to set it down on the heads or on the tails, then you've done acceptance or rejected.
Uh-huh.
So the question I ask people is, what side is it coming down on? When are you willing to let that part go to make a choice?
Well, remember when you used to tell the people when they're in a bad situation and they didn't know how, if they wanted to stay or go, which I never tell people because it's your relationship. I just guide you on the pros and cons. That you said, flip the coin and do what the coin says. They didn't like that.
Well, they don't because it's simple.
I know it, but then they want other people to make the decision. And it's like, well, it's not our relationship. You're the one that has to live with it. You have to know what you're willing to accept or reject, or even if you can tolerate something. Because the tolerating does kill them. They're always in my group complaining.
Can I, I know we don't have much time left, but yeah. I think this tool is important.
Okay, go ahead.
And this is from The Life of Love, page 93, called Tools. The way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision followed by action or inaction as soon as possible using two tools. One is a dipstick.
Yes.
If you're uncertain about a particular either or decision, you can dipstick. Take a paper and write down the two alternatives. For example, move to Detroit or don't move to Detroit. Then ask yourself, if I had to make a choice in this moment, which would I choose? Mark it down on one side or the other. Periodically, dipstick yourself and ask again. Mark it down so you can get a reading from your unconscious.
Uh-huh.
Another form of dipstick is a blind study. Mm-hmm. Have a bag or box with two colors of paper.
Yes.
One for yes and one for no. Then vote by color and then count at the end of the test, i.e. after a day or a week or after several weeks.
Yeah.
Which eliminates the influence of seeing your previous votes while you're voting. And that is a way to bring the unconscious to the conscious.
I have the women do that too. And the dipstick is also like the pros and cons. And you do it, every day for like a week. And also you do the thing where you put a red or a green, a plus and a minus on every. I have them write down their activity and stick it in there so that they can remember what their pluses and cons were.
I think pen to paper is so important to get it out of your head, especially when they're bugging you.
Uh-huh. So I have them actually write it. Write it on a 2x4 and then put a big check or a green X, a red check or a green X or something that identifies positive or negative. Stick it in a paper and I tell them to pull it out weekly or even like once a month if they have a big decision.
Yeah, whatever works for you. If it's coming up quick, might do it more periodically. If not, you got the time.
And you're never going to know what the right answer is. It's how you feel and the tally up. And it can always change day by day, unfortunately.
Another way is like a yellow envelope and the colored stickies. Just pick a colored sticky and throw it in there.
Oh, yeah. Red,
no, green is yes, whatever.
Yeah.
Without, and then you can't even see what you've done before.
Yeah.
And just throw it in there and close it back up again. And next time you think about it, do it again.
Yeah.
When it comes time to make a decision, dump them out, count them. You'll know where your true feelings are.
That's true. That's true. So anyway, we're running to the end of our time clock here, Andy. Thanks for sharing. Unfortunately, we didn't have any callers, but maybe they'll hear some of our information and call in next week. So I want to thank you for joining us. We'll be here next week. And if anybody has a topic or a question and they're not available to call in, you can always email me at the office and I'll share it with Andy on the radio and you can listen to the archives for your answer. So I thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Sue.
And we'll see you back here next week, people. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.